Our Father, we ask now as we open up your book that you would direct our hearts, our thoughts. Father, send the Holy Spirit now tonight to breathe on this congregation of people. I pray that you would silence the flesh and let Jesus Christ alone be honored in our midst tonight. Amen. I have a subject tonight that I can't possibly do justice to as a speaker, but in spite of that fact, I wish that I had the whole town of Rhinelander here tonight. Because even though I might be embarrassed if there was a large group of people here, I do want to honor Christ Jesus, my Lord. I think that the more that I love him, the more that I particularly enjoy saying things to his credit in my life and in the lives of all the people who are gathered together here tonight. This idea, I mean, it's not a new idea. This isn't anything that you guys don't already know all about. But the idea for this message came about last week when I was down in Merrill with Nikki and the kids, and we had supper in a park down there next to the store and with one of our employees down there. And she happens to have grown up in Merrill and knows basically everybody in town. And there were plenty of people at the park. And so I said to her towards the end of the evening, I said, "You probably better not hang around me and Nikki very much, because if you do, you're going to get a reputation around Merrill for spending time with the Amish." For some reason, we're always Amish everywhere we go. I don't know how we got to be Amish, but when I said that, I can't remember her exact words, but she was not in any way ashamed to be with us, and she said something to the effect, no, I don't mind what people think. You guys are so awesome. Well, the fact of the matter is, her voice just blends in with thousands and thousands of other people who I have met over my life. It is a daily occurrence, and you guys can go home and cry about this if you want to, but it is a daily occurrence that me and Nikki get praised by people constantly. People are constantly telling us how much they love us, how much they love what we're doing, what a nice family we have, what perfect kids we have. And you can list anything that you want to say nice. They have said it about me and Nikki and our family. And while much of the things that people have said about us are probably not even true, I will say, I'm here tonight to say one thing about all the praise that anybody has ever handed to me. In the scripture, we find the concept that those who behold the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory. We find that in 1 Corinthians. My notes are kind of messed up here. I think it's 2 Corinthians. I think I wrote my reference wrong, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll be going there later, but that's not where we're going to start. Those people who spend time with Jesus Christ partake something of the nature that only he can give to a human being. And you know, as I was thinking about this week, it's funny that me and Nikki get almost nothing but praise from everybody in the world all the time, except our church. And we get almost nothing but criticism from our church. Now, why would that be true? Why would it be true that our church does almost nothing? We almost never hear anything from anybody in our church but criticism. And from the rest of the world, we get almost nothing but praise. You guys explain that one? That is partially the truth, but there's another thing that's different. You know what? The people who are sitting in these chairs, do you know what they spend time doing on a daily basis? They spend time on a daily basis staring into the face of Jesus Christ and beholding his glory. And when you spend time looking into the face of Christ and you look at his glory, and then you look anywhere else on earth, there's nothing but disappointment for the eye. The rest of the world doesn't do much of that. They spend time looking around from sinner to sinner to sinner to sinner to sinner. All they see is junk. All they see is sin. All they see is defilement. And then they look into the face of somebody who's been spending time with Christ. And they're like, where did you come from? What's different about you? What's different? What is different in actuality is absolutely nothing at all. There is no difference between the ungodly and the Christian except for the work of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. That's the only difference. Now, with that story in mind, we're going to begin in Exodus chapter 33. Do you guys like hearing lengthy portions of Scripture just because it's so good? Yeah? I could skip a portion of this chapter, but I actually wouldn't mind just reading it. Chapter 34 actually will be what we'd read the whole one. But we'll start in 33, verse 18. Moses has just been speaking with the Lord and begging God to accompany the children of Israel as they travel to the land of Canaan. And here he says, in verse 18, Moses speaking here, it says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This was Moses' request to God. Show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. This is God speaking now, answering back. I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see my face and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up upon Mount Sinai.
as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hivite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee, in the time of the month Abib, for in the month Abib thou camest out of Egypt. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among thy cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou redeem him not, thou shalt break his neck. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. 6 days shalt thou work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks and the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until the morning. The first of the first fruits of thy land shalt thou bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seethe a kid in his mother's milk. And the Lord said unto Moses, write these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. Of all the miracles that you have ever heard spoken of in the Scriptures, I have never heard anybody talk about this one as a miracle. I've never heard anybody mention this as a miracle. But I want to tell you guys something tonight. Moses had skin on his face like you guys have skin on your face. And the skin on your face doesn't have the capability to produce light. The only way we know for light to be produced is through energy or fire. And light almost always contains heat. But God, giving us a picture that is told, explained to us in the New Testament, God giving us a picture of Jesus Christ, miraculously recreated the face of Moses so that it was like a light bulb. To the extent that when he came down from the mountain and the people saw him, they took off. Moses had to call to them. And when he finally called to them, a few of the brave returned to him. And after that, they convinced the rest of the people that Moses was still safe. And the rest of the people came. But when Moses was going to tell the people what God had said to him up in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, he had to cover his face with a veil because the people couldn't look at his face. It was not a glow-in-the-dark kind of a face that he had, where you see this faint light. It was not the little bulb of a salt lamp, where you can look at and say, that's pretty. It wasn't red makeup. His face shone to the point that the people couldn't look at him. And so he put on a veil while he talked with them. Now when we come to the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul speaks about this story. And we'll just read the chapter. He says, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have this hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We don't have the same situation in the New Testament as the children of Israel had in the Old Testament, where Moses went up alone into the mountain with God to receive the commandment. And Moses alone saw the glory of God. And Moses alone came down with a face that was shining. And Moses had to cover his face so that, because the people couldn't see it. We now have taken that veil because of the work of Christ on the cross, bringing holiness to the world through himself. We now have taken that veil and we have thrown it out. And we now, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now I'll tell you something. There are so many Christians right now who want that veil. They want Christ to be a little bit distant. They want a little bit of separation. Because that glory, when you see it right straight in the face, it makes changes to your life. And when you are desirous of the evil things of the flesh that God has called us from to serve Him, we want that veil over the face of Christ so that we don't see everything and we don't know everything and we can still hold a little bit to the things of this earth. But that's not the subject of my sermon tonight. The subject of my sermon tonight is I got some questions for you guys. Has anybody ever been appreciative of you? Anybody here? Because you are an honest person? Has anybody ever liked any of you because you worked hard? Has anyone ever liked any of you because you loved them? Has anybody ever looked at you and given you praise for who you were? Where did it come from if they did? Did you return the praise to God? Did you acknowledge God for being the only reason you had anything good in your life? Did you acknowledge God? You know, this world is searching nonstop for light. They're searching for something that they can't find. And there is a way for them to see the gospel of Christ. As we look into the face of Jesus Christ and we begin to be changed into the likeness of Him, that the world looks at us and sees something different. They're not beholding us being different. They think they are because they're ignorant. But they are beholding something of the face of Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something, guys. Now, if anyone ever looks at you guys and condemns you, you can't say anything about, you can't claim this now. If somebody comes to you and says, if you're what a Christian is, then I don't want to be one. We all probably get that once in a while. Your face doesn't look like Jesus all the time. When John saw Jesus in His glory in Revelation, he saw something that was shining like the sun, and he fell at His feet as a dead man. We are seeing Jesus, though with open face, as in a glass we are beholding the glory of the Lord. We see things somewhat dimmed down because it's all we can bear. And it says we are changed as we behold we are changed. That means if we were changed yesterday, we're still beholding today, we're still being changed. That means we weren't changed all the way yesterday. And if Dale was changed 20 years ago and he's still being changed today and he lives for another 20 years and he's still being changed in another 20 years, that means Dale isn't good right now. Well, he's not good enough anyway. I vouch for that. Everybody says bad things about me. I have to pick on somebody. We aren't what we should be yet, but we have received something of Christ into our lives. And that something that we have received into our lives when we have followed Him has put some shining on our face. It's put something on our face that all the girls in the world are spending billions of dollars at the drugstore or the department store to buy it in a tube, to rub it on or to brush it on so they can go out and be pretty in the world's sight. And they have no idea that Jesus has beauty for them that's free if they would just go find Him. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes a lot in 1 and 2 Corinthians about the glory of God. And it's funny, the verse 29, the one before we want, he's talking about that no flesh should glory in His presence. And the verse after verse 30 says that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. But verse 30 is what we're looking for. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now I'll tell you, if Jesus is made of God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that makes us some pretty awesome people. That does some pretty amazing things for the life of a sinful human being that was destined for judgment in hell. John, speaking about this Christ, says in the first chapter of John, we should read some extra verses. Let's begin at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness to the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if you were paying any attention as we read through these verses, do you realize how many times we read the word light? Over and over and over and over and over again. He is the light. He is the light that shines in darkness. He is the light. He is the light. He is the light. And we beheld His glory. Now when Moses was up in the mountain and he looked at the face of God, what do you think Moses saw? I think Moses saw light. I think that's what Moses saw. I don't think Moses saw much of anything besides light. When he came down, he had imbibed some of that light to his own face, to the point that his face was shining. And John says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if there's anything that a human being could ever want to be accepted and to be loved by all of humanity, if they were full of grace and truth, ought to give them just that. Of course, there's one issue that comes in. that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. As many times people hate the truth because it shows them up. But you know, as a matter of fact, even though Jesus died on the cross as a criminal because the rulers of the land hated him, you know, as a matter of fact, most of the people of the nation of Israel, even if they didn't choose to believe on him, most of the people of the nation of Israel adored him, followed him, spoke highly of him. The general crowds of people flocked to him because he was full of grace and truth. If we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, verse 7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Can anybody here answer that question? Guys, the reason I'm here tonight, there's only one reason that I'm here tonight, is to answer that question. Because I can tell you that if I have anything that anybody has ever liked, it has been because I spent the last 27 years of my life staring into the face of Jesus Christ. And the 15 years of my life before that, I spent staring into the face of my mom and dad. Now, they weren't quite as nice looking as Jesus was, but they had also been staring into the face of Jesus. And they also had some of his shining on their faces. Forty-two years with Jesus. And Paul asked me this question, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Now, I'm not standing up here to be a model for Christ tonight, because if I was, some of you guys might walk away. The point tonight is not that I received everything that Jesus had to give me. The point was that if I have anything, I got it from him. And he's got more. He has more. In Proverbs chapter 14, Solomon says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Jesus comes to the whole world offering righteousness. Two different kinds of righteousness. One, the imputed righteousness given by his death on the cross, where he takes your sins to himself and he pays their debt. And two, he gives imparted righteousness, where he actually takes of his own perfection and he teaches it to you, writing it on the heart, as we read in Corinthians. He writes it on the heart. By the Spirit of God, he writes it inside your body. On the heart. You know, Solomon also said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I'll tell you something about your heart. If God is writing his righteousness in your heart, people will see it on your face. People will face, figuratively, I mean now. If God's writing his righteousness in your heart, people will see it in the actions of your life. It'll be how you live. People will like what they see in you because you got something from the Lord. Now there's one thing that does bother me sometimes about church-going people. This wasn't the subject of my sermon tonight, but I figure since we're on the subject, we should talk about it. There is an attitude in a ton of Christian people. And it seems sometimes the more conservative and serious the churches are, the more likely you are to find this in people. There is an attitude in people to be critical and condemning of other people. The Bible says, judge not according to the appearance, but according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The Bible does not, as some Christians teach, the Bible does not forbid you to ever pass judgment. Okay? It does say, judge not that you be not judged. It does not say, don't judge at all. The one thing that you always need to remember as you begin roundly condemning all those who you fellowship with, all those who you don't, all those who you wish you did and can't, and 17 other categories of people that you find fun picking fault with. As you begin to do that on a daily basis, just remember one thing. You've been looking at the standard. If you thought that you were looking at yourself when you saw that light and that glory, you are one of God's problems. If you went and you looked into the mirror of your life and you saw something that you thought was of value, and you went around picking on your brothers and sisters, comparing them to what you saw when you looked in the mirror, the only thing you saw when you looked in the mirror, if you saw anything of value, was the reflection of the face of Jesus. If you saw anything good when you looked into the mirror, it was the reflection of the face of Jesus. That's not something we condemn each other over. Sometimes we look at our lives. We've been staring into the face of the standard all of our lives. And so best as we know how, we've tried to conform ourselves to that standard, but we're miserable failures at best. Then we go around and we take all of our brothers and sisters who are doing exactly the same thing we're doing, trying to conform themselves to that standard, though some fail more than others. And then we begin to condemn them for not being like us. If you want to judge, the Bible says you better judge righteous judgment. Because if you aren't judging righteous judgment with what measure you meet, it will be measured back to you. And that means unrighteous judgment will be measured to you. It's pretty difficult when you are a sinner to stand up to righteous judgment. But when you are being judged by unrighteous judgment, it is hopeless. Nobody can stand when the judgment is unrighteous. Not even Jesus can stand under unrighteous judgment. He was taken before a judge. He was judged. He was found guilty. He was condemned and he was killed. We, rather than picking at our brothers and sisters in Christ, should rather be the kind of a people who are lifting them up to behold the face of Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean there's not good times for hard and ruthless sermons. That does not mean there aren't times for a strong rebuke. That does not mean there are not times that you take somebody to task for what they're doing. But it better be righteous. And it better not be based on your own personal pride because you happen to think that you are better than what you see your brother doing. It just so happens that Paul wrote in the Romans, therefore thou art unexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou doest the same things. I missed the last part of it. I can't quote the exact words. What's that? Thou condemnest thyself. When we begin to look at other people and to judge their lives, we almost always are guilty of the thing that we are condemning somebody for. Almost always. I personally, I'm not supposed to be judging much. You've got to be very careful judging. But I have personally passed many judgments on people. Whether I should have or shouldn't have is another issue. But I have passed many judgments on people where I have watched them being very hard on somebody for something that was a flagrant fault in their life. Very, very common, easy thing to do. The light shines on you, and you let it bounce. I don't even understand it. I don't even understand how that works. I'm not a psychologist. I guess I should have gone to school. But I do know that God says in His Word we do that. We judge people for the things that we do. Now, as I said, that's not the subject of my sermon tonight. I came tonight to talk about what I believe is the reflection of the face of Jesus in the life of a Christian. When we stare into His face and He begins to change our lives so that we look more and more and more and more like He Himself is. Then we walk around in a dark world. The world sees a shining on our face, figuratively now. The world sees something different about us. They see something they like. Because we've gotten something from Christ. Who makes thee to differ from another? What do you guys have that you didn't receive from God? So if anybody comes to you and begins to tell you what a blessing you've been to them, or how thankful they are that they know you, or what amazing abilities you have to love people, or how nice it is to work with somebody so honest, and the list goes on and on and on and on, give the glory back to God. Honor Jesus Christ by thanking Him for the gifts He gave you and by holding Him up to those who know you. Let us dismiss.